Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Praise God, we have survived another election. You know what I find interesting about Jesus Christ and his 33 and a half year life and his ministry, 3.5 year ministry on this earth, not just the things that he embraced, but the things that he totally ignored and would not allow himself to be drawn into that. When a woman came to him with five husbands living with a man that wasn't, he didn't get involved in marriage counseling. He gave her the water of eternal life. When the disciples came to him complaining about the tax structure, he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar." I'm not getting involved in that tax problem. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." He was always about spiritual things. And so we've had an election and things have changed. We've got a new group of people that are mad. We've been 4 years of people that were mad, and now the other half of the country is mad. I've been glad for 4 years, and I'm going to be real glad for the next 4 years. Hallelujah. I just reach out and take what benefits me. The Lord takes care of me. I was telling Judy on the way out, this is an old suit I've got on, but God takes care of me. Let me just show you this. And I know you get tired of my little illustrations, but Gloria, he's my daily God. I woke up one Saturday morning, and probably 8 years ago, and I saw a man on TV and had the most beautiful blue suit on. I said, I want a suit just like that. I got in my car and drove over to a store I knew that carries a lot of cheap clothes, but once in a while they have really nice clothes. And I walked in and I told the guy there, he knew me, and I said, I want a blue suit. He said, well, if it would happen to fit you, we have one. But he said, there's a man that ordered this suit and said, it's very, very expensive. Not only that, he had it altered to suit him, and then he disappeared. He paid for it, and he never came back. He said, it's $3,000. That's the suit I've got on. He said, try it on. I tried it on. He said, the guy's already paid for it. If you want it, you can have it for $200. When I get up wanting a $200 or a blue suit, God's going to give me one. And friend, I'm not going to be controlled by the politics of this nation, by the hatred of any group of people, by people that are making crazy statements. I'm going to realize that all of us were made in the image of Almighty God. Every one of us belong to God. And we've got a job to do, and that is to proclaim the kingdom of God. And the thing that distresses me more than anything is the people that are dying from COVID, because some of those people never heard the gospel, never received the power of Jesus Christ. And our number one goal is to declare Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords and to get the good news of the gospel out. Praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been living for Jesus Christ since I was 10 years of age, and it's paid amazing dividends, and my biggest payday is yet to come. Praise God. Jesus Christ is all right. Jesus is all right. Amen. Will you give him praise today? Hallelujah. It's so good to be in God's house. Hallelujah. And to know that the Lord is more than able, whatever it is. Let's turn to the word of the Lord today. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent to me to bind up the broken heart, to proclaim liberty to the captive and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Isaiah 61 and 3 says this, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is an amazing text written by Isaiah a long time ago. But I know that this is a transgenerational text because Jesus quoted this same text hundreds of years later in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And so if it was good for Isaiah, It was good for Jesus. It's good for me. You may be seated. I want to talk to you on joy, the found coin. You know, it is much more difficult to maintain anything than it is to achieve it. You get it one time, and it is now a maintenance. It's that way in marriage. That's the reason why now more than one out of two marriages fail. It wasn't that they weren't in love. It wasn't that they were not just swept off their feet, but they did not have the ability to maintain that relationship. An automobile is the same thing. A house is the same thing. All relationships are the same way. It is maintaining. And so there's a parable that Jesus tells us about the woman that had a lost coin. And the coin was just one of 10. It was part of a set. The whole was more worth more than each coin was, but she lost one. And when she lost it, she made it her goal to sweep the house, to search the house, to call for the light until she found it. Now, the coin is not identified because Jesus wanted it to be applicable to us whenever we needed it. And the Church of the Living God has a tremendous process of receiving the gifts of God. But it is inevitable that we have ebb and flow. We have areas that we're strong in, areas that we're weak in, things that we have and things that we lose. And the Bible talks about that. It talks about in the book of Revelation, strengthen those things that remain. He warns us, I'm fearful lest you have lost your first love. And so when we talk about what is lost today in the church, there are so many things that could use our attention. But I want to point the spotlight of my attention on something that has been very personal to me and something that I believe that is vital to the kingdom of God. The world has succumbed to ashes. They've succumbed to the spirit of heaviness, to the spirit of mourning. There's now a nationally recognized misery index. I don't know when that happened, but a couple of years ago, I started seeing it in print. The misery index. I think it happened way back in the Bible. Paul called it the spirit of fear. It's the same thing. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power and of love and a sound mind. There's a two-pronged attack, the spirit of fear and the spirit of heaviness. That's what the devil wants to put on you all the time, that you would be fearful and that you would just be depressed. You would just be heavy. This world, the majority of it, lives all the time in that garment, the garment of fear, the spirit of heaviness. They just carry it with them. But God has a remedy for this morning. God has a remedy for these ashes, and the Bible gives that to us. For depression is nothing but fear, but there's also a double-edged remedy. God said, I will give you the oil of joy and the garment of praise. These are the two answers to the devil's greatest end-time panic attacks. If God can give us a myriad of commandments to obey, we must be aware of this lesser-known commandment, a commandment with promise. And he said, appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The two greatest questions are, how do I get the oil of joy, and how do I put on the garment of praise? First place, joy is based on knowledge, and praise is based on gratitude. Friend, my joy is constant, not because of what I experience, but because of what I know. What I know is literally greater than that which I am seeing. It might be all around me, but I know what I know because of the Word of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for they is holy unto our Lord. Whether be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Contained in this 10th verse is the recipe for our actions and our attitude in the 21st century. No matter what's going on, no matter what you see on the news, no matter what's going on in your job, no matter what's going on in your neighborhood, no matter what's going on in your family, you are supposed to exempt yourself from that. And he said, go your way. Get involved with your course of life And he said, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. In that one verse, it's all contained. He said, you're supposed to be able to be victorious in a time of defeat. You're supposed to be joyful in a time of mourning. You're supposed to put on the garment of praise in a time of fear and depression and heaviness. And then he said, if you can do that, he said, then you can send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared. In other words, that's evangelism. You can send the message out. Let me explain to you, ladies and gentlemen, as saved as you might be, you're not going to be a soul winner until you get joyful. People are looking at you and they're saying, he either has something or she has something that I don't have, or she is in the same pitiful plight that I am. And so I've made up my mind that I am going to rest my attitude upon the knowledge of who God is. And so if it is conceived in knowledge and not feeling, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. That, my friend, is a commandment of God. Look at the verse before that. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come upon the Gentiles, the people of no covenant and no promise, strangers from the promise of Israel. But God said, on all flesh. What is that verse saying? He's saying, whosoever will, if you make up your mind that I am going to have the joy of the Lord in my heart, as Becky said a long time ago, it's a choice. I choose to be happy. I choose to be joyful. And I'm not going to let anybody take that joy away from me. The lost coin is now searched out. And I can tell you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I submit it could be at this time of misery index, when this generation is surrendered to the spirit of heaviness. The joy of oil, the oil of joy is my part. It's described not just as oil, but the oil of joy. It's indicative of two things, anointing and medicinal property. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God can heal whatever is wrong with you physically, but he can heal your attitude. It doesn't matter how negative your family was. It doesn't matter how negative your church used to be. It doesn't matter how negative your co-workers are. God said, if you really want it, I will give you the oil of joy. And if you will do that, you will be healed. David indicated two things. He said, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. But I went to church and put on the garment of praise, and I escaped the spirit of heaviness and received the oil of joy. With his healing for old bones and the anointing of the supernatural, Nehemiah declared this divine mandate to Israel when they were smothered in the spirit of heaviness. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portion to them for whom nothing is prepared. No matter what's happening, I've made up my mind, I'm going to enjoy the abundant life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ gave us that promise that regardless of the atmosphere of the day, that we can experience the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give us. And so I want to embrace the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is the revelation of the existence and the character of God. The joy of salvation, he calls it. Friend, joy is not because you got a new car or you got a raise. Those things are good and gratifying. But the joy of the Lord has to come from knowledge of who God is and the fact that he is a good God, that he is in control. And God is on your side. It's called the joy of the Lord. David talked not only about the joy of the Lord, he talked about the joy of God's presence. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Becoming sensitized to God's spirit. Friend, you ought to have joy today because you recognize the presence of the living God. Do you realize that there are people by the millions that are immune to the joy of the presence of God? They never know what it is to sense his spirit. to hear his voice, to feel his hand upon their heart. But you, my friend, because you know the joy of the Lord, you know the joy of his presence. You feel it here in church. You feel it in your automobile. You feel it at home. And you say, that is the presence of God. That is the promise of Christ that said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Can I somehow submit to you that the church of the living God needs to renew its quest for joy? I remember even in my lifetime where there was more joy in the church than there is today. Oh, friend, it is time that we seek the face of God, not for that we should be rebuked, but that we should receive his joy, because the joy of the Lord is that strength. We need to realize that when we come to God's house, this is not the place for the plaintiff plea of the victim, but this is a place for the exclamation of those that are victors, those that have overcome. Our preaching should be about the power of God in our life. Our singing should be about the joy of the Lord. I know that there are a lot of great songs being written. I know that from Australia now, it shapes 95% of all worship in America. But I do want you to know that it's not nearly as joyful as it was those little Jamaican choruses that we got out of Jamaica in the 70s and 80s. They were simple, but friend, they celebrated the joy of the Lord. There's too much heaviness in God's church. There's too much condemnation in God's church. There's too much representation of victimization in God's church. We need to rise up and say, I belong to the Lord, and I know what the presence of God is. And so regardless of what my mother-in-law said, and my neighbor said, and my preacher said, I am in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck me out. And so I want to tell you, not only do I have the joy of the Lord because I know who he is and he's a good God, I have the joy of his presence. I find in his presence the fullness of joy. Not only do I have that, I have the joy of mourning because I know what it is to endure the long night. But praise God, every night I've ever been through, there has been a sunrise and there has been a breaking through. God has brought me all of that. And so no matter what I'm going through, I ought to say, thank God. The joy of the morning is on the horizon. It's time for me to sing. It's time for me to drink the sweet. It's time for me to eat the fat. It's time for me to recognize that the joy of the Lord is mine. Friend, not only do I have the joy of the Lord and the joy of his presence and the joy of the morning, I have joy that is unspeakable. He said, I want to tell you, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What does that mean? It means it's spontaneous. It means it's indescribable. It means my English forsakes me when I talk about the love that God has for me and the love that I have for him. It is literally joy unspeakable. I say things that don't make sense to the American Western mind. I speak in a language that some people don't understand. But what it is a bubbling up, a turning over, a flowing out of the joy that God has placed inside of me. Oh, if that were not enough, I have joy because that is set before me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, there is a lot of joy that is set before me. And when I look around, I say, look how you've blessed me, God. Look what you've done. But oh, I say, there is greater joy set before me. It's more than a cliche when I say the best is yet to come. It is a scriptural mandate that joy is set before me. I'm not going to hang my harp in the willow. I'm going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that the joy of the Lord is our strength? It used to be in the old days when I was just a young preacher that we came to church and we got ecstatic. We got stupidly happy. We were like people that drunk wine. We were like the disciples on the day of Pentecost. We could have been accused of being drunk. These people are drunk, yes, but not as ye suppose. We have drank the wine of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, in the old days of my ministry, we could get so happy on a Sunday that it wouldn't run out till we got back on Wednesday. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want strength to fight your battle on Monday, you better find you a church that knows how to get so happy and so joyful that there is an imposition of joy that is put inside of them that their boss can't drain off, that their family cannot annul. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why should I moan and complain when I know who God is? And when I know what His presence is, and when I know the joy that is set before me, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I'm happy in Jesus. I think myself happy, the Apostle Paul said. Can I ask you in this church that we lay aside all of our depression, that we cast away all of our fear, and we resurrect hope and faith and joy? We learn what it is again to just clap with spontaneity. We learn what it is to dance in God's Spirit. We learn what it is to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. The church is giving people a lot of things they don't need, which is simply a perverted version of what the news offers them. But the Church of the Living God has a distinct message, and that is that we can be joyful in any circumstance and any situation. We need to get it back out and say, I'm happy and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm joyful and you can't stop it. It's an overflowing well. Here was a woman that had 5 failed marriages, and she was so depressed. But when she got through drinking the water of Jesus, she was so happy. She went out to those that had no promise and began to tell them about the joy of the Lord. Does anybody in this building have the joy of the Lord? If you get happy enough, you can win people to Christ. If you get enough joy, you can convert your family. If you get enough joy, you can affect your neighbors. If you get enough joy, you can change your workplace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not predicated upon the car I drive. Since I was 16 years old, I've driven nice cars. For the first time since I was 16, I don't own a car. My sister was here, and they needed a car, and so I was able to help her get the car I was driving, which was really a nice car. So I'm driving in my truck. That truck is not really good in town. You can't park the thing. It takes up too much room. It's for pulling trailers. I don't even have a car, but I'm just as happy as I was when I used to drive a Mercedes S550. I'm just as happy. My joy is not predicated on cars or clothes or houses or land or movies or music or things or jobs. Friend, I'm a stranger in this world, just passing through. They have no hope because they don't know Him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I know Him by name. He and I are personal friends. I got up today. You know what my praise today, Brother Green, was? I said, Lord, why have you been so good to me? And why have you not kept my failings to my account? The Lord literally blesses me, not because of me, but in spite of me. I've seen some people with the meanest little kids, but they say, oh, they're just angels. That's just the way a parent feels. Apparently, that's the way the Father feels about us. Hallelujah. Because He blesses us even when we don't deserve it. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. The fact that I can feel the presence of God. I had a man tell me a while back, he said, I hadn't felt God's presence for years. That's perhaps the worst statement I've ever heard. I feel God's presence every day. I hear people talking about, you know, some days I don't feel the Lord. Some days the heavens are brass. I don't live in a place like that. The heavens are never brass. I feel God's presence every day. I know the Lord's on my side. Sometimes he bops me up to the side of the head and say, don't do that. It's going to mess you up. But praise God, he never leaves me. And so my joy is in the Lord. My joy is in his presence. So I'm not affected by what's going on. Some days I make money and some days I lose money. I told you about my friend, Red McCombs. I tried to get him to invest some of my money. He said, I wouldn't do that, Steve. He said, yesterday I lost $40 million. And he was just smiling. How do you lose $40 million and smile? Friend, I want to tell you, I've won and I've lost in this thing called life, but I've never lost my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. And so I would say to the church of the living God, we need to turn up the volume of our services right here. Something needs to happen every... David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why was it? David knew what he was. And David knew the problems that he had, and David knew the mistakes that he, but he knew that he drew his strength from the joy of the house of God. And friend, we need to get so much joy in this house that no matter what hell you face on Monday, it doesn't affect you. No matter what your boss does, it doesn't affect you. Is there such a place as that in the Lord? There is. And friend, people can make fun of it and laugh at it, but we need to revamp our services to where when we come together, we just become ecstatic in the Lord. We lose all sense of time. We lose all sense of dignity and pomp and circumstance, and we're here just to bask ourselves in the joy of the Lord. And when we walk out those doors, we're like the disciples. We're like people that are drunk on the Spirit of the living God. And we say, no matter what happens, it's going to be all right because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And friend, I want to tell you, there's not a demon in hell. There's not a devil outside of purgatory that can denounce you and have power over you if you will get the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And in closing, that woman at the well said, sir, you offer me to drink, but you have nothing to draw with. The Bible said with joy, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. What she didn't reckon with was that Jesus Christ had the joy of God inside of him. For the joy that was set before him, friend, I want to tell you, if you get the joy of the Lord, there's not a desert that you can't find an oasis. There's not a problem you can't find a solution. There's not a depression that you cannot find an escape. Why is that? Because with joy, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let me tell you, the wells of salvation is just not going to heaven and missing hell. The salvation, that word means everything good that has been passed in God. I find in that well the peace when I need it, the comfort when I need it, the consolation when I need it, the strength when I need it, the overpowering Spirit of God when I need it, the prosperity when I need it, the revelation of the righteousness of God in me is all in that well. And if I've got joy, I can lay my bucket down every day and say, no matter what's going on, I'm going to praise God. And ladies and gentlemen, I think when we come to church, we need to say, I've come for one reason, and that is to get the joy of the Lord and get it strong in my life. And so you can sing for joy, you can clap for joy, you can shout for joy, you can leap for joy, you can run for joy. He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. That's double joy. Praise God, because I know that my God is good, and I am in his hand, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so what do you see for the next 4 years? What I see for the next 40 years, I see revival, I see restoration, I see signs, I see wonders, I see miracles, I see the manifestation of the Lord. Hallelujah! Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So can I ask you, when you come into this house, come rejoicing in the Lord. Come expecting miracles. Come clapping your hands. Come singing the Lord's song. Come confessing that God is good all the time, and that God will withhold no good thing from me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Will you stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What God wants to do in your life will most likely start at the house of God. But you have not become a real overcomer until you can transfer what happens to you in church to what happens to you in the world. That you can praise God. You say, well, you know, I come to Living Way and I kind of enjoy some of the music and I enjoy this and that, but I'm just not that kind of person. Okay, that's a valuable excuse. You're shy. You have a personality deficit. You just confessed it. Now, how does that keep you from praising God in your bedroom? How does that keep you from having joy in your kitchen? It might be a little more deep-seated than a personality deficit. It might be that you don't know the Lord as you should know Him. Because once you know the Lord as I know Him, you know this little verse I used about today about drinking the sweet, eating the fat? I prayed that verse every day for over a year in the old building in the 80s, early 80s. Because this church was totally financially destitute. We were so broke that every day, I loved the weekends because I didn't have to call. Every day, Monday through Friday, I called my banker and explained to them why I had no money and what little I had I would get to them that day. I quoted that verse every day. I go into that old building sometimes when nobody's around and it has such a sentimental meaning to me. In the left prayer room, the fire prayer room, that was where I used to like to pray when nobody was around and quote that verse. And I was thinking this week, I don't really remember when, and I don't really remember how, but somehow God turned that all around to where we have sufficient financial reserves in this church that when we have a $50,000 air conditioning bill, and we do, they go out. They're monsters. They go out. And I never have to come here and take an offering because we have reserves. What are you saying? I'm saying we don't live off the bottom of the barrel. But I remember when the barrel was totally empty and I would go in there and I'd say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to drink the sweet. I'm going to eat the fat. And the Lord has done it, praise God. And I'm living on the other side. We've been through some terrible things in this year of 2020, but praise God, we're about to break through on the other side. But let me tell you something. You can't get what you need after the problem. You've got to learn to get it in the problem. You say, well, I feel better now. Well, that's fine. But what were you doing during the problem? I had a man that cheated me, a preacher cheated me out of several $1,000s one time. And somebody called him about it, and then he called me and he said, Brother Steve, I'm sorry I did that. And I'd forgotten about it. It's 20-some years later. And he said, how can I make it up to you? I said, oh, you can't now, sir. I said, I had one baby, and he was 2 months old, and a wife. And we were totally destitute preaching for you, and you stole my money. I said, but now, sir, Donald, his name happened to be Donald. I said, Donald, is there anything you need today? Because I can write you a check for nearly any amount. He said, well, I don't need anything. I said, neither do I. That's the point. You missed the opportunity to bless me, and you can't never fix that. Friend, I'm going to tell you what. We're not out of the woods yet, but I can see the horizon, and we're going to break out in 21. We're going to break out. But if you don't do something in 20, after we're on the other side, You're not going to have the testimony that I've had. You're not going to have the testimony that some of the good people in this church had. That when I was going through hell in 20, I kept my song. I kept praising God. I kept giving. The devil stole a lot of stuff, but he didn't steal my joy. Jerry Savile said it best. If the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your stuff. Praise God. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And friend, I've had hell face me so many times, but I've never lost my faith. My God is good, and God is on my side. And there is a joy that is set before me. And I can promise you, if you're going through hell on this Sunday morning, in your marriage, in your finance, in your home, on your job, in whatever it is, if you get out of that pew and before you ever get to this altar, throw your hands up and say, I'm going to worship the Lord. God will begin to work in your behalf. Your marriage can be fixed. Your family can be fixed. Your job can be fixed. Your finance can be fixed. Your body can be healed. Your family can be saved. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And that's the greatest expression of faith there is.